Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That's why I throw history out, because I can't believe I just said that. Because there's never been a time like this where buyers had, and just general public, had so much knowledge at their fingertips of the real estate market. And with that, I don't think there's any going back. Pandora is out. And
ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in construction, real estate, and development? We pull back the curtain on the new home construction industry, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us for Trust the Process podcast, and let's build something great together. Welcome back to Trust the Process podcast, where we talk about the housing industry, new homes, and everything that falls in between. Wanted to talk today about some cycles and the history and trends and kind of what we're seeing in the market. So some comebacks over time and things that have historically proven successful, not successful, mm-hmm. Where are we at? Taking the trends that we're seeing today and sort of applying them to the historical value that we know. And our resident expert happens
about
to
history?
Be a history buff. So take us there. Tell us some more about what we're seeing and historically what we know about the cycles that are presenting themselves now and where they've been presented in the past.
The urge to make a feudal England reference right now.
Go, go, go. Go ahead and do it.
Oh, land ownership started. Okay. No.
Well, okay.
We are in such unprecedented. The market's never going to be the same when you look back more than 10 years. The rules and the logic that you could apply to the real estate market in 2025 versus, like, let's say, what I'm getting at is pre-Zillow, pre-third-party syndication sites, pre-the commoditization of housing, where everyone kind of is at least somewhat informed on the market. I won't say everyone, but a lot of people are at least somewhat informed.
Or they have a resource that's readily available.
At least they have, a way that kind
on
of...
Zillow or on online platforms.
So to say it more concise is that there's so much transparency now in the real estate market. It's going to be hard to apply the logic and the thought processes of pre-2010, let's call it, where there was a time when you had to go on www.zillow.com just to get to Zillow, which didn't even have the kind of transparency as now. Now it's an app. I think it's 2008, 2009, and it didn't syndicate from the MLS. We started syndicating to the MLS by default, I want to say in around 2014 or 15, and we as brokers would have to opt in. Do you want to opt in?
Now
you
have to opt. Syndicates from other channels now too. You've got BDX platforms. You've got Zillow.
Oh, for
Livable,
sure.
You've got, all of those others. It's all streamed out to the masses.
Basically Zillow, which owns Trulia, and then Realtor.com and Homes.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really very few players in that space, and they get a lot of unique visitors. They get a lot of eyeballs. And that's a good way to gauge the market nowadays, to say, okay, we're in a bit of a buyer's market in many cities, a high growth market. Cities, Phoenix, Las Vegas, most of Texas, Florida. Atlanta is a struggling, I shouldn't say struggling, but it's a pretty intense buyer's market right now in many of the outer ring suburbs, because Atlanta sprawls so much. You have a lot of exurbs, a lot of places that maybe only boomed when the market was really tight. And now that they're not booming, it's kind of, okay, what happens there? Places like Vegas and Phoenix were a closed market. We don't have suburbs. We're kind of one giant suburb. So yeah, we might have a little bit of a softening just because we're a high growth market, but ultimately there's nowhere to go. If you want to live in Las Vegas, you live in Las Vegas. I mean, you can go to Kennesaw. I mean, you can
sure,
live in,
those cities
sometimes
sprawl.
Probably
Vegas
2 hours from one city
mm-hmm.
to the other. We don't really sprawl. We look like we sprawl if you take a flight into Las Vegas, but versus other East Coast metros, how far is Philly? Philly sprawls all the way into New Jersey. There's areas of New Jersey that are Philadelphia suburbs, not New York City suburbs. That's how sprawling it is on the East Coast, and maybe in some parts of California too. So I feel pretty optimistic. But anyway, moral of the story is a lot of the growth markets are in kind of touching and flirting with buyer's market territory. Mm-hmm. But what you should be looking at is, what is the overall interest and appetite in real estate for the general consumer. It's still really high. Zillow has great traffic. Share price is doing pretty well once they got out of flipping homes. They've had a bit of a rebound that did not bode well for them. But you look at, there's a lot of interest in real estate and resources and ways for people to channel that interest and look at third-party sites like Zillow and Trulia and get an idea of the market and sales history and property taxes and HOA. And think about, how would you have known what an HOA price was before Zillow? There was no central repository that gave you that type of data that you could get on your phone.
That's true. And that's just one touch point. How many of those are there?
Right. I can look at properties in Texas because it's fun too, because they look so different than Las Vegas. And go, oh, that's a beautiful house for $900,000. That'd be $1.5 million here. Oh, wait a minute. The taxes are $27,000 a year. They're $12,000 here. The little things like that,
yes,
that kind of pull back the curtain.
That's true. And all that's available now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that because of all that empowerment, sales history, neighbor's sales history, well, we like this home. Last time it sold was when it sold from the builder 10 years ago. Oh, wait a minute. Four homes have sold in the last few months on this very street. And this one had this pool, and this one didn't have a pool, and this one had this finishes, and this one has this floor.
And you could even scroll through the house and see this looks like that. That looks like this. Ours has this that this didn't have. And
So I think in many ways that's why I throw history out, because I can't believe I just said that. Because there's never been a time like this, where buyers had, and just general public, had so much knowledge at their fingertips of the real estate market. Mm-hmm. And with that, I don't think there's any going back. Pandora is out. And you're in some ways, it's good. I feel that it adds a lot of liquidity to the market. It keeps people interested, engaged in the market.
Sure.
Real estate is fun for a lot of people. Looking at homes is fun online. It stokes an interest in people. It kind of keeps the flames of home ownership desire going. It maybe is responsible for the growth markets and what we've done in the last 10 years. Because if you're sitting in traffic and you were on the northeastern seaboard and it's rained for 5 days in a row and your house looks dingy and your boss is pissing you off, you go, let me look at real estate in Florida. Let me look at real estate in Las Vegas. Let me look at real estate. Maybe make some major move, and you kind of get your foot over there and get your feet wet before you even go. And maybe that online platform engages you enough to say, you know what, maybe we should consider that move. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to retire. Where do we want to look? Well, let's compare all the cities. You can do a lot of that work from the comfort of your own sofa.
That's true. How did people do that before?
Right.
I mean, I guess you had to call an agent.
A real estate agent. Yeah. I remember moving interstate with my parents probably 20 years ago. And my mom looked up real estate agents and called a real estate agent. And he, at that time, there was email. So that he would email her listings. And then it was like, okay, we want to be where in the city would be a good place to live. There are usually 3 to 7 photos of a listing, any given listing in the MLS. The MLS was limited at one point to 10 photos, but agents didn't even, there was no industry of professional real estate photography back then. I mean, just think about how much the industry has changed, so that I feel that we have higher peaks and higher gullies. So I feel that our market is more liquid, so we have more volatility, because there's just more liquidity, and buyers are also more informed to say, wow, this feels like there's a lot of homes for sale in this zip code. Whereas before, an agent could kind of spin the market however suited them and suited the narrative that they wanted to create and the reality around it. So now agents have been completely disarmed with that. And
for
now buyers know many times more than the agent.
And they're more resourceful and they've done more research.
They're more interested in it. How interested are you when you're one of 15 clients that wants to spend $700,000 to $900,000? Just kidding. She's very interested in everything. You know,
so
you
get
have so
a
much
more
bandwidth.
Informed buyer.
Right.
So really the agents have had to
focusing.
Up their game in order to keep up with the information buyers are available.
Think about
available.
It. This is all that buyer's thinking about. Generally, if a buyer is in the mood to buy, this is all they think about.
Yeah.
They're probably spending 3 to 4 hours a day on Zillow. Hour at night before bed, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there. I mean, it can add up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because when I was looking to buy a second home in another state a couple of years ago, it's all I did. Just trolling it all the time.
Yep.
Just, okay, oh, I already know this neighborhood. I know I don't like that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then you go out there and put all the pieces together and you go, oh, wow, okay, definitely don't want this anymore. I'm not going to look there.
Yeah.
And
I've had
really
it happen, you know, where I have a client who I know I'm taking really good care of. I'm hand-holding them, making sure that their, you know, needs are met. But I have other obligations and I have other clients and they're like, hey, did you see this one? Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I didn't. But yeah.
Good on you.
Good on you. Right. Yeah. But they're doing that work for themselves, which is good.
And it keeps them engaged. And then I feel that I noticed it when I was working my brokerage business over 12 years and I don't do too much of it anymore, mm-hmm. but I noticed that buyers, I felt a title shift around 2017, 2018 where buyers were routinely going out with me for one day and they're making a move in one day.
In a day, making a decision in a day.
Because they already knew.
Yep.
Like when I bought, I went out there one weekend and I actually only spent one half of that weekend even house hunting. The rest I just spent in the town.
Yeah.
You know, so because I knew.
And, learning about the town.
Yeah, feeling it. And, mm-hmm. Okay, this is really cool.
And but you knew what side of town you wanted to be on. Yep. You knew what size was available.
I knew all the inventory. Nothing was a surprise. Yeah. So all I had to do was put it all together and say, wow, this is really great. That's what I want. And I jumped. I think we saw four houses, if that. So, I mean, it was... Mm-hmm. But I've been on that other side. I was in my agent's shoes many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. Especially like post 2018, post 2017, when the syndication feeds all lined up mm-hmm. and all the data was pretty much uniform across all the trust in Zillow and third party sites went way up because it used to be, well, and who knows what Zillow says, because their info was many times outdated. Mm-hmm. Homes would be on there that had long since sold, or homes would be on right. there that had been pulled or weren't on there but were on the market. They weren't showing in Zillow, so they just never could trust the information. And now they can. And buyers are very, very informed. So I feel that that's overall a net positive for the real estate market that keeps buyers engaged. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, buyers get more and more spooked. With more information and real estate consistently making headlines, you can't watch it without housing coming up at least every other day. Mm-mm. More turmoil in the housing market. It just mm-hmm. creates this narrative of, what they think with the last thing that Becky and Squawk Box said.
And social media even, there are things in the feed and I can't tell you how many clients, friends, neighbors, colleagues will send me things and you open up the social media inbox and you've got all these things, you've just been, did you see this article? Or what about this? Or, they're just, and it's all interesting information, but it's
almost like everyone has
inundated.
A real estate podcast.
I know, right?
Microphones are too cheap. But there's just a lot of info out there.
There is.
And that's why we try to have a little bit of a unique niche here. We talk a lot about new home construction and building. We pepper in a lot of real estate, but we try to...
It's hard not to because we sell the homes at the end.
I think that those two go hand in hand mm-hmm. really well together. Yeah. But
right. And we're not building them to keep.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. We got to sell them. So we have to keep ourselves well informed and make sure that we have our thumb on that market mm-hmm. and know exactly what the housing industry as a whole needs and requires.
Right. And to touch on some history, because I had to get it in there.
Yes.
But if you think about the inventory we have right now, not us as trust home builders, but the inventory any given city has is a representation of what the market was doing at that time. Homes built in the 80s look and feel different, generally mm-hmm. smaller. We actually talked about this earlier today on separate call, that for the first time in many markets, new homes are actually smaller than many resale homes.
And I think prices are lower. There's that idea that a resale home might be less than a new build. But that's not necessarily the case. And when you look at it on a, marginally, you can see a new home is often going to be less than a resale home.
You look at our microcosm of where we're building currently in South Shore and Lake Los, but a small microcosm. I get that.
Right.
But when I list one of our homes, or when we list it, when the sales team runs with it, we are often the cheapest home in that country club. Mm-hmm. And that's part strategy on my behalf. I like to underdevelop more than overdevelop. I don't want to move the market. I don't want to break any records.
I don't want to be out there on the front trying to
I don't want to be the first one to get $5.5 million out of that or whatever. So I like to be more cautious. But I'm also mm-hmm. doing many homes up there. So at the end of the day, I have to ride that middle ground. But the fact remains is that currently, we are with our spec that we just finished and relisted as a brand new, currently ready to go, quick move-in, we are the cheapest custom in that community.
And our square footage isn't...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I mean, where it's really manageable square footage, it's not substantially less
than the competition, but we are smaller. Yeah. We're building smaller.
And so builders making those strategic decisions to build a little smaller and price a little less, and all of those things are actually giving, you know, the next house who's already overbuilt that was built 10 years ago, and they have this massive monstrous home that's twice the square footage of what you just built, and it has, I can't imagine they'd have better options and upgrades, because we really did this home, but in any event, I mean, apples to apples, those two things, it's less to go new, and now you've got the energy efficency and the
rate buy downs, and all those things, the incentives, the commissions, all those pieces. Yeah, it's
and smart home features and the energy efficiencies that are going to be less over time to own the home as well.
And that's why builders set the market, and builders, well, we're in the business of built. We have to sell them, so we're not holding on to this asset that was part of our retirement. It's okay, we have to sell so we can move on to the next ones, or you know, we got to get this batch of homes kind of moved through the ecosystem so we can move on to other projects I'm already committed to, and money's already on the line.
And we're thinking about selling that before it hits the ground. Right. That our whole purpose. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's, you know, it's interesting to look back on it to say, oh, look at the 70s and homes were simpler, and then they started to swell as it became asset classes. And, you know, it kind of has been a representation. And when building costs were low and you became a way to stand out in the 90s, we had a home episode on McMansion.
We did.
Bigger, better, let's do more.
Yeah. You know, there was that whole trend.
Yeah. So I think it is, it's different. And this generation of home buyers is going to be completely different. On the topic of some of the data, they don't have to go very far to find data on the housing market. But what I found interesting when we talk about cycles, the biggest cohort of buyers moving through the system right now is
so interesting.
56 years old. 17 years ago, the average buyer moving through the system, the largest cohort, was 39 years old. They're the same people.
It's the same people.
They're the same people.
17 years later.
17 years later, they're 17 years older.
That is amazing. It is
the most alarming statistic I've ever seen. It's showing you that there's almost like this property gilded landed gentry class that's moving through the market. And the average first-time home buyer is 38 years old right now.
Which was a surprise to me, because I would tell you 10 years ago, it was 10 years younger, or 24 to 28 is what we were at previously.
Right.
But so now, 10 years later, these people are waiting to be able to, entry-level buyer at almost 40 years old.
So what does that move-up buyer look like in 10 more years? And generally speaking, I do think that people, that generation, it was the boomer and the most of Gen X, moved around a lot. They were mobile. And there's a lot of indication that other millennials, and maybe, I mean, millennials all through elder Gen Zs, are not going to be moving around as much. They're making one purchase, and that will probably be their home for 20 years. It's kind of like the silent generation did in the 20s and 30s.
And it makes you think about that move up product line, right? If this is entry level, there's a move up, whereas typically, by the time you're getting to 40, now your family's a little bit more, you know, established, and maybe you have a better income and you have a different job and you need the square footage. And so now the move up, that whole move up may or may not even be a thing
it might
in the future.
I think if you're entering,
when do you move up? At 50? Now the kids are moving out.
Which is why I'm strategic in South Shore to build kind of small for custom, you know, 32 to 3800 square foot homes. Because I know that my target demographic is probably an empty nester that just wants some guest rooms for the kids, an office, a craft room. They want the square footage from the multi-purpose aspect of it, but they probably don't need a playroom. They probably want to use that loft as a pool table room or a media room.
Yep.
At the end of the day, they don't need these big behemoths, because those are the people that are moving through. You've got to know your audience, and I know that that's what's filling those gaps. And we talked about this before. Your previous employer built a lot of what we call entry level. And I know you guys probably had a lot of first-time home buyers, but you also had a lot of people who were downsizing.
Sure.
So it's almost like the bottom of the market, the people are going to whipsaw back through and end up, they're going to be the ones buying the entry level product. It's going to be the people who are 60 now, and when they're 65, maybe they're downsizing out of those and into. I mean, it's going to depend on affluence and depend on their means and stuff.
Yeah, but they don't want the yard. They like the attached. There are things about that smaller product type that is appealing.
It's more versatile
to
their lifestyle.
If you want to hop in an RV and go for 6 weeks or whatever,
lock it up and there's no yard.
Lock and leave kind of concept.
It would be interesting that Right. When you think of the entry-level product as, oh, they're going to be young, they might not be.
Not necessarily.
They might not
right.
be the youngest buyers in the cohort. Yeah. Those buyers, it's been proven for the last 10 years that people are holding off on homeownership. They're buying later. They're buying when their needs more match what mm-hmm. they can afford at that time. So I think with that, that yeah. there's, and this is one more aspect. Real estate is now so much more visual. So I wanted to touch on this with the Zillow thing. Real estate is so much more visual now. People aren't willing to compromise. That when I had a lot of brokerage clients, they were willing to wait and willing to make sacrifices to get exactly what they wanted because mm-hmm. they've seen it all. It's very visual. Real estate is a hobby now. It's like they follow yeah. architectural influencers. Sure. They follow interior design influencers.
Television shows.
HGTV.
Dogs on Sunset.
Yeah,
say,
exactly.
You know,
right.
All of those.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that that's interesting to me is that that could maybe have fueled it. They're looking at these sad little 2-over-1s. And I don't want to buy that for $350 when I could just save two more years and buy this home for $500. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I get that promotion. Or maybe my significant other finishes, you know, graduate school or whatever, mm-hmm. and she'll be working or he'll be working.
Right.
And, you know, you feel like there's some selectivity that buyers maybe in the 70s and 80s didn't have. They'd say, show me a house for $70,000. And then they would just buy what was $70,000 because it wasn't as much of an aesthetic as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So homes are way more visual now. The interior aesthetic matters
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm. The finishes that go
finishes
into
matter
it
more.
Are, yeah, that's true. That's true. Even the exterior,
different.
You know, we have really...
The exterior
has changed
yeah.
so much over
it's
time.
It's photographed. A home is a model now.
Yeah.
Literally like a fashion model. I mean, yeah. it matters how it presents itself online.
Absolutely.
It just didn't matter as much
yeah.
before.
All the details and the window trims and the different
Everything.
Colors that are used. And curb appeal has come so far.
Oh, for sure. We used to say it mattered. Curb appeal was really all that mattered, they would say. And mm-hmm. how you show, because you drive past and you see for sale sign. Now it's like... Yeah, but what about the drone imagery?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, did you yeah. didn't do a Twilight shot? Oh, okay. No. Interesting.
Yeah.
See, we put in money. You know, that's it's just different now.
Yeah.
Homes are models and they just have to stand out. So
mm-hmm.
buyers are different. It's just a different generation of home buyers.
That's even. Funny when you say that model. I mean we all know the term models, but when you think about it in terms of the fashion runway, they are wearing the they
yeah.
are the
yeah.
the one walking the runway in
that's
that.
Right. And I think that yeah, even the older generation, when I say this generation of homebuyers, I even mean the older boomers that are buying, they're part of this generation
mm-hmm.
of homebuyers.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have that mentality 20 years ago, but now they're on Zillow just as much. It doesn't discriminate by age, socioeconomic area. It's, you look at their data, look at Zillow and their unique eyeballs and their amount of visitors and their amount of app downloads. And that is just a vibrant app. And it's, mm-hmm. I think it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Of what?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anything from the past that you think will circle back? I mean, obviously the industry cycles of interest rates and some of that stuff, historically, we can watch the trends and how they have circled mm-hmm. back. But do you think they'll come the same way, given that everything else has changed so much?
I mean,
maneuvered differently somehow?
We don't have a huge generation moving through. I know they say the millennials are a big generation. We don't have that big generation that is going to require the way that the baby boomers, or I should say that was actually the silent generation buying those first tract homes, the baby boomers were the kids that were having, right? It was that World War
right.
II generation, not the ones born, but the born, you know, in the 20s, and they were a big cohort of buyers. And I think that without some sort of big shock to the system, we're going to languish in this overall housing shortage. Overall housing is a bigger share of your income. I think that we're the era of seeing potato fields leveled for residential
yeah.
affordable housing is never going to come back. And we saw that all the way up to into the 70s. Like how it wasn't really till the late 70s with the 30-year mortgage kind of became prevalent in the mid 70s. And when homes became easier to finance and longer terms, I think they just became bigger and bigger and bigger. And now we're seeing a little bit of shrinkflation with houses. So sometimes, yes, new homes are smaller, but you're actually paying more per square.
Mm-hmm.
So they're cheaper, they're smaller, but you're actually paying more for the same thing, for apples to apples. Mm-hmm. And I think that that might change. I think that that cycle of the average new home in the 70s, I believe, was 1,600 square feet. Now it's 2,200, but it's shrinking.
And a lot of that is product and labor costs. And I mean, there
it has no choice but to go down.
The insulation costs more. It's harder to manufacture.
Exactly. More there's more insulation needed. There's more. Yeah. The windows are more expensive. Mm-hmm. You can't throw together a house anymore. So I think it just made sense that what's going to give. If wages aren't dramatically increasing and rates aren't coming down, borrowing costs aren't coming down, the home itself, who's going to blink first? It's going to be the size, right? Mm. You can get greater density with smaller homes.
True.
Right. So.
True. Interesting.
There's a lot of factors. Yeah. I do think that zoning laws aren't going anywhere. We've had a lot of episodes on that. I feel like it's always going to be, you know, we look at our one project we have, should have been 23 affordable townhomes, ends up, especially, we're going to do another episode of that, six luxury homes are going to be $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. So there's six families on that parcel instead of 23. I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. There's not enough political will for that to stop, to reverse course. Mm. And they still had a lot of resistance on that project. Even doing six luxury homes, which would be the nicest homes on that strip of land, you know, that quarter mile, will be the nicest product, and we still got resistance from all the neighbors. So without that NIMBYism, it's just, yeah. So no, to answer your question, historically, we're not going to circle back to an era of the 40s, 50s, 60s where farms are being plowed over and you're seeing some affordable homes that go in. I just don't think.
Even with land at a premium the way that it is and unavailable.
I just don't, I don't feel it. Mm-hmm. I think we have these cyclical buyer's markets. It's going to keep coming around. We had it in 2020. Mm-hmm. We had it in the decade, in the previous decade. We had a lot of 6-month periods that were buyer's markets. And in a market like ours, a really relatively closed market, builders just dial down their spec homes, less inventory corrects, moves around, and then it equalizes within three to six months. Mm-hmm. It's just too small of a market, the Western markets, because some of the Sunbelt and the South sprawls like we talked about, but the Southwest markets, they're just too closed. They're just too easy to manipulate. Hmm. Even just 12,000 homes a year, roughly complete, 10 to 12,000. Even if the average builder pulls back 20%, you're losing, you know, you're only then adding 8,500 homes to the inventory. You're losing over 2,000 houses. It doesn't take long to shock the system and prop it back up and say, oh, it's fine. We just pulled back. We were going to finish out a 200 home subdivision in 18 months. We're going to do it in 24. Hmm. And throttle it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I love that. I just like the idea of right where we are, looking at what has been, what has brought us here, and kind of where we have seen, you know, as trends change and things move, and looking at those numbers statistically, who's buying and where is our greatest cohort, and some of those things, I feel like, help to draw the picture of what we can't yet, you know, you can't quite see it, but you know what's out there.
Right. And you can feel it, and you can look at the data and think, okay, well, in 12 months or 24 months, what do we think is going to, you know, be in demand, and what's it going to look like?
So. Yep. Yep. I like it. Well, thank you.
Of course.
Great insights. Always a great conversation.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And we appreciate you guys being here with us too. So taking a moment to think about the pause of where we're at and how we got here and where we're going. Hopefully that's an interesting conversation for you to consider too in your own needs. And we will hope to see you again next time on the next episode of Trust the Process podcast. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.